I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we like spooky things.
Spooky things.
Ooh. And we really like self-care for yourself. What did you do this week for self-care?
So, okay, this week I need to use all my ClassPass points because they've just been continuously rolling over.
When do you need to use them by?
I haven't canceled it yet, so I'm trying to, like, use the majority of them before I cancel it, and then I'll be good. So,
let me know.
Yeah. So, I went on Wednesday, I think it was. Yeah, Wednesday night, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Cherry Creek because I've been dying to try this workout class.
What class?
It's called Climber, and it's, like, basically, like, this weird machine where... It's like vertical and you stand on two little pedals, almost like bike pedals kind of, but bigger. And then you put your hands on this like thing that should be like shoulder height. And essentially you're like climbing. So it's like opposite arm, opposite leg, move at the same time.
Okay.
And then they like,
it's I can kind of picture what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's like as if you were climbing up a wall. So you're like, you can change the like tension on it, or the resistance rather, so you could go from like, it's kind of like if you were to take like a cycle class, if you were to go to like Cycle Bar or Soul Cycle,
but you're going up and you're having to grab, correct?
Yeah, so you're holding on the whole time, but it's like you're essentially you're trying to go to the beat of the music.
Oh,
so it's kind of that, like similar to a cycle class or a spin class where you're going to the beat. But it's like a full body workout because you're working your arms, you're working your back, you're working your core, you're working
your legs. It sounds like that would like,
it looked fun.
Get everything. Yeah.
And like, I knew an instructor who used to work at Cycle Bar who now works there. And I was like, oh my God, she's amazing. But she teaches like 5:30 a.m. classes and I'm like, oh. Girl, bye. Love you so much. But
when I get
no.
out of bed, no, thank you. I'm so good.
Excuse me. So I tried that class and then I booked a facial right after because with ClassPass you can do like pedicures or facials or other random kind of like wellness things. You could get a massage if you have enough points. So I was like, let me like, you know, use a lot of points with like a facial. So I like did the class. It wasn't what I expected. Honestly, I wanted to leave like 3 minutes in. But there were only like
the classes like that were like, and scene.
And I was like, and I fucking hate this.
and done.
Yeah. And like, but I wasn't going to leave because.
No, it's kind of awkward.
That's
awkward.
So awkward. I was in like the second row. Like everyone would have seen me. And there were only like three people in the class. So then it would have been mean, you know?
Well, because then they would have been like, did I say something?
Right. Because like, I've had people like leave my class like early and they're. And I'm like, oh my God, they hate me. And they're like, I had to leave because I had to go to work. And I'm like, oh, okay. Don't do that ever again without telling me.
Yeah. Like I would.
Because then you get in your head and you're like, do they hate this class?
Did I say something?
Like, why are they mad at me?
Why are you mad at me?
Stop. So yeah, I didn't want to do that to her because she was a nice lady. Whatever.
Yeah.
So hated that. Then I went to the facial and it was a very relaxing experience. Like so lovely, except the next day my face started burning like more and more.
The next day
like 24 hours later.
What facial did you get?
It was a hydrating facial.
Oh,
it should have been
like
relaxing and
gentle.
If
you did a peeling one, I'd be like, well, it's probably.
I was like, dude, I've got like sensitive skin, so like, you know, chill the fuck out. And And it felt good while we were doing it. But then it got, like, so bad, Kim.
Were you allergic?
I guess, because then it got puffy, and it was itching, and it was burning.
You look fantastic and right now.
And luckily, on Friday, I had already had, like, from months ago, set up a doctor's appointment.
Oh, good.
So I was like, hey, my face is, like, burning off. Can you help me?
I'm about to be Two-Face from Batman.
Exactly. She was like, I like wore like a hat and like sunglasses. Oh my god. She was like, oh my god.
What happened?
She's like, so I'm going to give you a steroid for 5 days and I need you to take that. And I was like, okay.
But oh my god.
It was so bad. So I tried to self-care myself.
And you know what?
It was kind of an epic fail.
I disagree. Because you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Well, and like, so I left a review and I didn't leave a bad review.
Good.
I took one star off. So I did like 9 out of 10 because I was like, the entire experience was lovely. I loved the lady. She was so smart and knowledgeable, blah, blah, blah. And like, I can't fault her. Like, I didn't know that I'm allergic to something. So like, I couldn't convey to her that I was allergic.
Did you figure out what you're allergic to?
No, oh. I have no idea. I should probably like call them and be like, what the fuck did you use on my face? Like, and avoid all of those things.
Yeah.
But I don't care that much.
It's fine. You're great. It's you fine. Look great. You
it's
look
fine now. It's been, what, 4 or 5
you
days?
You look hydrated AF.
It's actually peeling, but that's okay.
It doesn't look like it's peeling. So,
so I tried.
There you go.
What did you do for your self-care?
Well, it wasn't like this week. It was pretty recent, but I haven't been able to talk about how my birthday went.
Oh my god. Happy birthday, Halloween
Thank
queen.
Thank you. Hello, queen up in here. We went to Machete, and then we went to the Black Phone 2. Something fun about me is I don't like sci-fi. The second one is sci-fi. So,
yeah, that's kind of out of left field.
Yeah,
a little bit. About it was sci-fi?
It was like, I don't know, supernatural. Like aliens? It wasn't as good as the first one.
Okay.
I'll just put it there. Okay. But a lot of people are like, it was amazing. And then, like, my parents went and I was like, ha ha, I've tricked them into going to a horror movie. Joke's on me.
Was it scary?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there were parts, but I don't know. It just, I feel like the first one was very true crime and the second one wasn't. So it was like, and if you like
those
two things.
So you had that expectation and then it wasn't that.
No, it wasn't like bad. I'm just not going to watch it again. Does that make sense?
Sure.
So we did that, and then we went to Magic of the Jack-O-Lanterns, which was amazing. Absolutely so amazing. Good. And it was cold, which it's a bit weird because like now it's like 70.
It's like 70 degrees out. It's like mid-November.
We're in Colorado.
What the fuck?
By the way. But it was awesome. Keith killed it. You gave me the little coffee mug that I'm obsessed with. I use it every single day. The little like ghosty one.
Oh, yeah.
So cute. It's like one of my favorite things. And aww. So it was a fun day. It was just fleeting.
How old did you turn?
3 dozen.
3 dozen.
I'm not saying the number.
You're making
3 dozen.
Do math? Wow.
One of the children in my family, I was like, 3 dozen. They were like, 33. And I'm like,
you're wrong.
Nope.
Practice again.
And I was like, but thank you.
But you know what? I think I do look 33.
I love them so much. It just made me laugh. I was like, nope. But you know what? Like, I'm 33. It's fine.
Right off the bat. They're like, 33. You're like, absolutely wrong.
No, but thank you for thinking so.
Nice.
But it was awesome. It was a good day. So
nice. Yeah. Well, what are you going to tell me about today?
Did you hear? I'm sure you have. This one just like it's a great cautionary tale. The Chowchilla bus kidnapping?
No.
Oh, you haven't heard this story?
No.
Well, get ready. It's crazy.
Bus kidnapping.
Yeah. On July 15th, 1976, a group of 26 kids.
Oh my God.
Between the ages of 14 and 5, I was wondering if you would have the realization.
Okay. Yeah.
And their bus driver, Ed Ray, were coming home after a long day of summer school.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
It was either the second to last or the last day of summer school. So that's why the numbers, I mean, 26 sounds like a lot for summer school, but like, it would have been a lot higher if it wasn't like during that time. So, but this summer school wasn't like kids, failed. It was, to
more like
me,
a day camp.
it kind of sounded like a day camp because they did a lot of like pool days and stuff. But they were like,
that's not summer school. That's, yeah, that's like a day camp.
They learned to swim, done it.
They're not like being like, let's do fun shit. You failed the entire year. Like, yeah. That's like a day camp.
Do you want to have fun? Well, you're not gonna.
Well, you can't go in the pool. Yeah.
You have to sit on the outside and watch all the other kids go in. That's summer school. Learn about life.
That's summer school.
So it was, either the second to last or the last day. And it's July, so they still get to like enjoy their summer a little bit before school starts. And they went to local pool that day and they had been swimming in the pool all day.
Okay, wait, sorry. Where is this again?
Chowchilla.
Where is that?
Oh, Chowchilla is a smaller community in the middle of California. I was going to get there.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
It's like an hour. No, you're fine.
I thought you said it and I like wasn't listening.
No, you're fine. It's like an hour and a half south of San Francisco.
Oh, okay.
So, because I like to, know the big cities it's near so we can kind of get in the, but it was like a cow town. Like it was like not a big community. Okay. Yeah. And it was just like, it's not North California, it's not South California, it's just smack dab in the middle. And in 1976 the town had a population of about 5,000 people.
Oh, it's small.
Yeah, small. Okay. Knit. Yeah. It was one of those don't lock your front door communities.
Sure.
We've all heard about them. Hey people, lock your doors. It's just fine,
just in general.
It's fine,
just be safe.
Yeah. Remember the Night Stalker? He would look at unlocked doors as an invitation. Where was he located? California.
Creep ass.
So creepy. So Ed Ray, the bus driver, was liked by all the kids, and he cared about all those kids as well. He was just all around. People were like, we loved Ed. We loved Ed. So I want to put that out there. So they were headed home. And they had actually dropped a few kids off already, anywhere from 3 to 5, who knows, just in that vicinity. And they had stopped at a stop sign, and there was like a van just kind of parked in the middle of the road. And Ed had gone around the white van. And when the kids said they wondered kind of what he was doing because he had slowed down. And he opened the bus doors, and two armed men jumped on the bus.
Wait,
and they had guns.
Why did he open the doors?
I don't really know.
That seems weird.
But maybe, like, the people were like, oh, question.
Oh,
and he opened the door,
yeah.
You know? And then suddenly, wham, bam, guns.
Okay.
And they also had, like, they had masks on their face, and they also had nylon stockings, so you couldn't really get a good glimpse of their eyes, you know?
Okay, creepy.
Yeah. Right? So I listened to accounts of the kids, and the kids were, like, really well-spoken, I felt like. Mm-hmm. So you just hear, like, the kids saying, and then some guys got on. And it was just, it was really interesting hearing, like, the kids talk. And it's them as kids. There's a little bit of recording. And then it's them now kind of recounting it.
Sure.
And you could just hear in their voice, they went back to that age. And again,
yeah,
some of them, it was 14 to 5, just in that vicinity. But like when they were talking about it, it was just like kind of like kids talking about it because they just went back to that in their mind.
Yeah.
And one of the guys was like, it was just scary seeing guns. It was so real. And some of the kids were like, I accepted death at that point. I'm like, that is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So two men got on the bus and one guy was behind them driving the white van that was in the middle of the road.
Okay.
So they kind of told Ed to get up and go to the back of the bus. And Ed was kind of like being stern with the kids.
Sure.
In a be quiet, listen to what they say.
Yeah, they've got guns.
Yeah, and the kids were like, that's not the Ed we know. And it's like, well, he's also scared.
And
out
he,
of his
yeah,
mind.
He wants to protect them too.
Yeah. So they were just like, it wasn't like Ed, but like the Ed we know and love. And I'm like, well, he was scared too.
He's not going to be fucking like super fun in that kind of situation.
But like, imagine the responsibility you felt. That's
yeah,
26
for
kids.
26 kids.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, shut the fuck up and sit down.
Just listen to them.
Don't make eye contact with them. Or I will feel horrible.
I think he was scared, but he was also trying to be firm because, like, that's a hard place to do.
Sure.
I can't imagine having that happen and then also having the responsibility of kids also.
And that amount of kids.
Yeah.
Like,
26.
I have so much respect for, like, elementary school teachers.
Oh,
I'm like, Jesus
1,000,000%.
Can you imagine?
And the amount of money out of their pocket they have to spend is crazy. So, but yeah, it was just they made Ed go to the back of the bus and they're like, it just wasn't like Ed. And it's like, well it's a scary situation.
Scared out of his fucking mind.
So one of the kidnappers actually started driving the bus, and one of the people that was interviewed were like, we didn't know where they were taking us. And one of the kids was like, Ed, you have to get me home. My dad's going to be mad at you if you don't get me home. And I'm sure Ed's like,
sir,
I'm so sorry.
He's like, I'm so sorry.
I would be so fine with your dad yelling at me at this point. Anyways, but it's a little kid, so he was just like,
yeah, he probably
didn't understand. I can't be late. Like, they'll be mad at me.
Yeah.
So they started heading down the road, and at that point, they were trying to be comforting to the children. Like, the older kids were trying to be sweet to the younger kids. And just, you know, firm, like I said, just being quiet, listen, everything's going to be okay. Like, one of the girls was like, I was telling the other kids to just be brave because we were going to be okay, so just be brave. And I was like, oh my God. And she was like nine, and she shouldn't have had to do that at nine, you know. That's
terrifying.
But yeah, everyone's scared, confused, and they drove 7 miles outside of Chowchilla, and they drive into this like dry riverbed area with bamboo around it that was taller than the bus.
Mm.
So it was a good place to
hide an entire bus.
So there was a man, I think, that was like making sure everyone was cooperating. There was one that was driving the bus, and then there was one that was driving the van behind him. And it was okay. So they kind of get off the road, and they're like, okay, the van's following us. And they see a green van also in that area.
Okay.
So they're like, okay, that's weird. So they pull the vans close to the bus, and they just make the kids jump into the vans. And they had to have two vans because 26 kids. So they're like, get in the van. So they were making the kids jump. And if you think about it, it's kind of smart because then there weren't footprints.
Yeah.
So when they eventually found the bus, there wouldn't be footprints, and they had nowhere to go and like didn't know what was going on. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's like, they really planned this out.
Yeah. It was very well planned. Anyways. So, and there was like 13 kids in every van. And the hard part was the kids were just being put in whatever van was closest. So some siblings were separated, which you would want your sibling at that point.
Yeah.
And the windows were blacked out, and they kind of had makeshift cell kind of things.
In the vans?
Yeah.
Ew.
I know. So it was just kind of like, they said it was like a cell, but the windows were blacked out, and one of the guys, like, it was like the darkness was trying to get me.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God, you're back to being like six.
Yeah.
So, and the older kids were trying to be as comforting as they possibly can. There was a guy named Mike. He was 14. He was one of the vans, and Ed was in one of the vans, and they said some of the older kids and Ed were like singing to the kids to keep their spirits up. And they were in the bus driving around for 11 hours.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, where were they going? That's like a long, long time. And like 13 kids in each van. Like,
and I'll tell you how far they get, but it almost sounds like they were trying to disorient them. And yeah, kids like had wet their pants. And
yeah,
stuff.
I was like, because they didn't really have any bathroom breaks. Is that going
to
be?
Yeah. So that had to have been hard because they're like, when are we ever going to stop? So it was at this time that parents started noticing their kids weren't home yet, and they thought it was really strange. They're like, you know, Ed's usually on track. Yeah, he's usually here. And you know, some kids had gotten home because they were stopped, so it was just strange. It's like, well, some kids got home,
yeah,
some
like
kids
everything
didn't.
Seemed normal.
What happened? And that's what threw them off too, is it wasn't like none of the kids came home. They're like, what happened during this bus ride? So parents right away contacted the police, thank God. And some parents were searching around, some were retracing the bus route just in case like the bus had broken down or something. Mm-hmm. They didn't know at this point.
Yeah, they didn't have cell phones.
Yeah, they just didn't know what happened to their kids. And not long after the search had started, around sunset, they found the bus outside of Chowchilla.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And remember, no footprints.
How horrifying for the parents. Oh my God.
I can't even imagine. Ugh. I can't even begin to imagine. So the police immediately knew this was a bigger deal, and they immediately contacted the FBI to help them. Because they're like, this is a lot of kids.
Yeah.
This is a small community. This is out of like our like wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So again, they had driven for hours, and they had no idea how long or how far they were. Some of the kids were like, were we even in California still? And they actually ended up in Livermore, California, which is about 100 miles away from Chowchilla.
Hmm.
So if you do the math, it it's doesn't take 11 hours to drive 100 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So after feeling them going off the road and it just bouncing around, mm-hmm. they knew they were like in a rough terrain area.
Sure.
They felt the vans come to a stop. And the first person they took out of the vans was Ed Ray. And then they closed the van doors. They would take someone out, close the van doors. They don't know what's happening.
Yeah, but
they don't know what's happening.
One by one, that's so...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
One of the kids that interviewed, she's like, I didn't hear screaming. So
okay.
So, you know, that does it. But she, like, tried to go to the back to see if, like, they wouldn't find her, and they did. But I just can't imagine. They, like, open it up, close the door. So, the reason they did this was Ed Ray was kind of like, I guess, like the main person in charge. And they were making him climb a ladder down into a hole. So I'm sure they made Ed go down first so the kids would like be less scared. I don't know. It's not like they care about the kids. But
more like if you're going to, as a in a kid mind, you want to be near Ed.
Yeah.
Because he's the safe grown up.
100%. Yeah. So they would take a kid out, close the doors, make the kid go down the ladder, grab another kid. And this had to have taken a while because it's 26 kids.
Yeah, it's a lot of fucking kids.
And the older kid, Michael, said he was holding on to little Monica, who was like the littlest kid. She was 5.
Aww.
And he said the hardest part of this whole thing was like letting go of her because they're like, you can't go together.
Aww.
So he went down there and he was just like sitting there like, please bring Monica. And then Monica came down the ladder. Ugh. Yeah. And it's just, how scary would that be, crawling into a hole?
Yeah, like, what are they going to do to you?
Yeah. And a lot of kids said they felt relief when they heard the other kids down there.
Sure.
So they knew, like, at least everyone.
All together.
Yeah. And, you know, everyone was alive.
Yeah.
So they had fans, so they knew that there was some circulation of air down there.
Okay, this is, like, really intensely planned out.
And there was cereal, bread, peanut butter, so the kids could at least feed themselves. And they had water.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're not trying to kill them right away.
And they had dug holes that could be used as bathrooms.
What is the game plan here?
Like, I'll kind of tell you, but it doesn't go according to plan, which is great. So the kidnappers had buried a truck trailer, and that's what the kids were in.
It seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. Thank God they were in an actual hole, though, because, like, I wouldn't trust anyone to build a hole that's not going to cave in.
Yeah.
But I say that, but I'll tell you something. So at this point, it had kind of been, like, 12 hours, and they were in the dark vans. They went into another dark area. There's a 14-year-old named Mike Marshall.
Aw.
I think you know Mike Marshall. And he was trying to be comforting to all the kids. He was the oldest kid there. And he was really determined, which thank God they had one. So the kidnappers left and they let the kids know they would be back at some point. And they covered the hole with a manhole cover, which are really heavy.
That's, yeah, what?
Yeah. And like dirt and like a car battery. I don't know. They just put all this random shit on it. It was camouflaged.
That's...
Like, a lot of the kids were like, no one would have been able to find us. It was pretty camouflaged. Like, you're not going to look at a manhole cover and be like, I need to pick that up.
Yeah.
But for a while, Ed Ray and Mike Marshall and some of the older kids were trying to figure a way out of this. However, it was at this point that Ed was like, maybe we should rest. Let's rest.
Yeah.
And let's try it again. But I think Mike was like, nah. Ner.
How do you do you rest when you're
Well, I'm sure the little kids could.
Yeah, the
like,
little
what
kids
were they gonna do? But they had put mattresses down there.
What?
It's kind of well thought out, and
no,
I hate
it's super
saying
well
that,
thought out, but I'm like, because
I'm like, it's not great.
Is this like a ransom to like kids in a rural town? Like, how much money do their parents have? You know, like,
oh my god, hold on.
Well, I don't get it.
So the kidnappers literally went home and, like, slept. They were like, on a day's work, boys, let's
see
go
you tomorrow.
So, so another 12 hours passes, and conditions in the hole were really bad. It started to deteriorate, like, cave in a little bit.
Oh, my God.
They would see, like, it kind of buckling.
No.
Yeah. Scary. No. Scary. And they initially had fans going, but the fans had stopped. So the ventilation into the hole had stopped. The food was completely gone. The water was gone. And it was just not a good situation.
No.
No one's having fun. They needed to get out quick. And there was a kid that was like kicking around trying to like figure out a way out of that. And every time he would kick, it would seem like the tractor trailer started imploding on itself.
Oh.
It wasn't like kicking. He was trying to figure out a way out. Yeah. So I know, because I was like, stop kicking. And I was like, well, he was trying to like figure it out. Anyways, so a lot of kids assumed that's how they were going to die.
Yeah, which is what a horrible,
horrible end. Like, yeah. So they figured, if they were going to get out of this, they had to at least try go out fighting.
Yeah.
They were like, if we're going to die, we might as well try. And, like,
they outnumber them.
Yeah.
I mean, even though there's, like, little kids, still, they outnumber them.
Little kids can do damage. We've all seen weapons. Anyways, so, again, the kids, there was mattresses, so they stacked the mattresses up so they could get to the top and just push against the hole. And, they were like, Mike at one point was digging. And I was like, well, what was he digging? I was kind of confused. But I know that they were hitting against the top of the hole.
Okay.
And what was cool is dirt started coming in through that.
So they're making some progress?
Yes. And every time it would shift a little bit, the kids would cheer.
Aww.
They just were cheering every time. Because, like, and Mike and Ed were just giving it their all.
Yeah.
Because he's 14, so he's still, like, and I think, like, some of the other kids were helping, too. But yeah, at one point, the manhole cover fell off. And after hours of hitting the opening, there was a ray of light. And all the kids were like, this ray of light was our ray of hope.
Oh.
And I'm like, Ed Ray. It was really cute. And they said when the ray came down, you could see all the dirt. But you wanted the dirt to come in because they had covered the hole with like all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't lock the hatch. It just had a manhole cover. And that's what they had to move. And yeah, ray of light came in. The kids were like, we were like, we're free.
Aww.
And I'm like, I can't even imagine how good that air must have felt.
And they were able to get out.
Mm-hmm. So something scary that could have happened was Mike Marshall was the first one to go out. He's the 14-year-old. And they're like, what if the kidnappers were just there?
Wouldn't they like probably not let you get out though?
Yeah, well, but they didn't know, you know, so they're like, they didn't know where they were. Or what if they're
around? Like, you don't know, like,
yeah, and that's what they said was really scary was they're like,
camping out near there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what they were like worried about, but the idiots didn't. So, so they were like, this is really scary. But once they got the kids out, they're like, this is fine. So they were in a rock quarry.
Oh.
And the kids were like, it was like the Flintstones. They had all these machines. And I'm like, and it's, I'm just like, that's just adorable. And, they were like, oh, no one would have seen us. This is very well camouflaged. But they were walking around and people were like, who are you? And they're like, and Ed Ray was like, we're from Chowchilla and we're a little bit lost. And they're like, you're the people everyone's been searching for.
Oh, there was like workers there at this point. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So the workers were like, hell yeah. Like excited.
Yeah.
They ran in and they called the police. And the police came and, since there was like 26 kids, I think they got another bus, but they had to take them to like a rehab jail center because that's the only place they had room.
Okay.
But they like gave them food and everything because the rehab centers have food as well.
Yeah.
So they like gave the kids food and it was cute. The kids were like trying on uniforms and stuff and they're like, look, we can fly because it was big. And the kids were like, it was fun. We were like trying on their uniforms and stuff and they knew they were safe. But I thought it was cute that Ed didn't say they were kidnapped. They were just a little lost. I thought that was cute when you went up to the guys. I was just like, looking at my notes. I'm like, that was cute. So people examined the kids and the bus driver. And other than a few cuts and like, you know, minor bruises.
Yeah.
The kids were physically okay.
Yeah.
Physically okay. So they did have to take a Greyhound back to Chowchilla. And after, I think, 36 hours, the kids pulled up outside of the Chowchilla Police Department, and there was, like, reporters.
Wait, 36 hour, was it, like, total?
Mm-hmm.
This entire ordeal?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It was, like, around 36 hours was what they said.
All right, so pretty quick.
Yeah, but thank God. And they, like, pulled up, and, like, reporters and parents were, like, cheering.
Oh.
One of the guys said a police officer handed him to his mom, and he was like, hi, mom, and then fell asleep.
Oh.
And I'm just like,
poor baby.
Oh my God. It like break my heart. Why don't you? So yeah, it was 4 a.m. and the kids were really just tired and really shaken up.
Yeah.
And, like I said, physically okay. So, many years after this, the kids were having nightmares still.
I wonder why. Yeah, like, it's like up, the up most to a lot of years. Traumatic experience yeah. ever. And also, it's like the 70s, 80s. Like, they're not like, you should go to therapy about this.
No, it was like, man up.
Well, that happened.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was like, oh, if therapy wasn't like a recognized thing then. But kids had nightmares about like being lined up and being shot.
God.
And other kids had just night terrors and they would wake up screaming. Like, how can you not?
Yeah.
How can you not? Like, that was like a horrible event at that age. So now the question is, who did this?
Yep. And like, why?
Who were the kidnappers? They buried a shipping container.
Yeah. Like, this is a lot of effort.
Yeah. They buried a fucking shipping container. Like, what? That wasn't just something that they just woke up one day and were like, eh. And they also, this area, what really blew the construction workers away was this area was locked. You couldn't just get into this area. So that's how they immediately stopped and were like, why are you guys here?
Yeah.
You had to have a key to this quarry.
Oh.
Where the shipping container was buried, you had to have a key to get into that area.
Yeah, and like, how would anyone know about that unless you like work there or something? Yeah. You know, like.
So the owner's son, Fred Woods, had access, and he was 24 years old. Let me reiterate.
What, 24?
He was 24. He was not a teenager.
Yeah.
He wasn't a teenager.
That's again, a full-ass adult.
He wasn't a teenager. Fred Woods also came from a family with a lot of money. So police were asking questions, and people had said that worked at the quarry that they had seen them digging a really big hole.
And no one was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Well, it was the owner's son.
I guess it's a quarry.
Yeah, one that's the owner's son, so they're like, all in a day's work. But he had two guys that were also with him.
Weird.
They didn't even try to do it at night. Like, when nobody was paying attention, they're like, yeah.
They're just, like, hanging out and digging a hole.
Yeah, they're just like.
And everyone's like, whatever, there he is. So there's
I'm making myself a swimming pool.
Yeah, like, what?
So the other men that were involved were James Schoenfeld and his younger brother, Richard. And the brothers were also from a wealthy family. And James and Fred were like buddies because they had worked together at a used. They had owned or worked at a used car dealership. I had heard both, but I'm like, if they're from a wealthy family, they probably owned it and it like did not go well.
Yeah.
So the cops immediately went to Fred's house to get evidence of this crime, and they were able to find the guns, like, immediately.
I was, like, right by the front door, just, like,
hanging on, like, the...
on the little door hook or whatever. Like, oh, here they are.
And they also found the ransom note.
Okay, so they were doing ransom.
Or yes, but it hadn't gone out yet.
Because they got away.
Yeah, because they busted out of the hole before they... Guys. And I'm sure they were, like... You know, like,
you're like, another business venture failed.
Why can't we do good business? Stomping their feet.
Yeah. And they were just like, meh, they escaped. They're probably not going to tell the cops about this.
They're
like,
no one's going to know why
no
we're
one's
digging
gonna come
a hole.
Looking for us. Like,
and
what?
The vans were also like tied to their names. It's so embarrassing.
You guys, you did so much planning on the front end. And, like, not a lot of, like,
there was so much planning on the front end.
Like,
who the fuck, like, buries a shipping container? You had to think about that. You thought about that every time you did a shovel of dirt. They did it by hand. They didn't even use,
they didn't even use, like, an excavator?
No. Maybe they did it first, but people saw them doing it by hand, so. Yeah, it's embarrassing. Also, imagine how high you have to, like, flip the dirt up towards, like, when you're close to the end.
Have you ever tried to dig a hole?
Yeah.
It's so hard.
It makes me so angry.
And they're digging. Like, how long did this take?
There's 26 kids that were in there.
Oh, my God.
They also put mattresses in there.
Like, they were really, like, thinking about it. But then, like, they escaped and they're just like, meh.
Yeah. Meh. I'd be mad that I dug that hole and it didn't go to anything.
I'm surprised they didn't, like... Once they showed up and saw that everyone was gone, and they heard, they probably heard the buzz around the quarry,
who
right?
Who even your knows if they showed up? They might have heard about it.
Yeah, and then they're just like, I guess we'll just like hang out at our house until the cops come. Like,
also, why are you napping? Get that ransom note out right away. But the thing is, I mentioned that they're from wealthy families, so it's not like they were, like, in need of money.
That's, yeah, that's my thing. I'm like, so, like, why? Just to be an asshole? Like, I don't get it.
So, they found the evidence, they found the ransom note, and the part that was really strange, and you, they asked for $5 million for 26 kids. It's not like Chowchilla is this rich community.
These are fucking like rural.
People thought it was hilarious, but they asked the state of California for $5 million. And how much do you think $5 million was in 1976?
In today's money, it's yes. probably like, I'm going to say 12.
28.5 million.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I was like waiting for you to say 30. And I
know.
Like,
I was trying almost. To go lower because I thought yeah. like, yeah. okay.
I mean,
because usually I'd be like, 100.
100. It's like, no, 28. Settle down. Relax. So, yeah, but they asked the state of California for $5 million because they were in a lot of debt from, like, the used car or
failed ordeal.
You know, I don't really know.
Can't their daddies assuming, just bail them out?
I don't know. Why don't we just kidnap kids about it?
Like,
I can laugh about it because none of the kids were hurt.
Well, but physically. It's also like, who the fuck thinks of that? Who's like, God, we're in an insane amount of debt. What should we do about that?
And I'll tell you. I'll get to that.
What?
So, and I'll get to that, why they did plan that. So the police were on to them and they had sent out warrants, I guess, probably. And Richard turned himself in. And Fred and James, who apparently can't take accountability for their own actions, fled to Canada and they were found pretty quickly.
Okay, like, that's what I was like. They didn't like leave, you know?
They had the children identify them by their voices. Oh, wow. Because if you remember, they were wearing nylon stockings and like masks. And the kids, like, they made them say, get into the back of the bus and like stuff like that. And the kids were like, that's them. So, yeah, they were in extreme debt. And they ask them why, and they're like, children are precious and people will pay good money to get kids.
I mean, you're not wrong, but that's so fucked up.
How did,
like, how selfish of you to think
one alone fucked up, two, wow, three people that were on board with traumatizing and kidnapping kids,
like,
yikes.
You didn't think that they would be affected by this for the rest of their lives?
They weren't worried about
it. And like
it.
It's also like, okay, so say everything had gone according to plan. Now you have $28 million in your fucking bank account and like,
I don't think anyone's going to be like, you earned it.
Right? Like,
used car business
any,
is a good
like,
one.
Scenario, it's not going to work out. Like, ransom never works out.
They always are able to find out. They also mark bills. Fun fact.
Yeah.
Because, like, in the 70s, like, they would have to send it to you in cash. And then they would, like, anytime you spent that money, they would have been like,
well,
like,
here you go.
Yeah, exactly. So, idiots. So, the three of them pled guilty to 27 counts of kidnapping for ransom and robbery. They didn't want to plead to the bodily harm because they figured they hadn't done anything. So, they got life sentences with no parole.
Oh, good.
That's great, right? That's so great.
Are they just going to get out in like 2 years or something stupid?
Everything was good, great, fine, right? They even, then the kids went on a Disney trip, which I thought was really cool.
That's so cute.
I love that. Aww. I was like, I want to add this in. The kids all went to Disney.
Aww.
So, sir.
Sure.
I feel like Emma Watson should like, no. So 4 years after they were sentenced, they were able to overturn the conviction of bodily harm because as awful as what they did, they didn't actually physically hurt the kids.
Okay, so that's what I was going to say. Like, yeah, I would agree that it's not bodily harm, but what about the mental harm that you've created for, like, they're going to carry that with them for the rest of their lives.
Well, they wanted the bodily harm, like, the judges wanted that because that would sentence them to life with no parole.
Okay.
However, the kidnapping charges apparently don't. I don't know, 27 counts.
What?
It's fine. So they were able to get parole every few years. So they were sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole. And the kids would have to go to the hearings to make sure they didn't get out.
Oh, Jesus. And just relive it all over.
And it was triggering to the kids.
Yeah.
And they like went back in time during this. Like when they're talking about it, one guy was crying and he's like, and then we saw the ray of light. I'm like, this is a man that was like eight, like, and I mean that in a kind way. I don't mean that in like,
no.
He's, but like in his mind, he's regressing
back to that fear.
He's 8 years old. He's seeing this ray of light and like, oh my God, we're free. Yeah. You could hear it in their voices when they talked about it. It's like heartbreaking. It's happy because like the kids, you know, like weren't physically hurt. Yeah. And that's why I'm telling this story.
But also the amount of trauma that would, like, it's that, yeah, that's fucked.
So the guys get parole. And a lot of the kids that were kidnapped were talking as adults, and many of them had actually faced addiction and just being angry. One guy's like, I went to bed, a hungover 18-year-old. He's like, and I woke up 48. They fell into addiction.
Yeah, because, like, how do you escape those feelings? How do you, and, like, you know, like we were talking about in that particular time period, like, it wasn't super normal.
It was easy to get drugs during that time period, too. Yeah, and like you said, it was, like, during, like, this is 49 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think people realized at that time how important mental health is.
Yeah.
And I think that's why there's been such a turn. Because that generation is like, oh, wait.
Maybe we shouldn't do drugs about it. We should do, like, right. mental, taking care of, like, our mental.
Oh, that's so sad.
So they just didn't have the mental support that they needed. And, you know, the justice system kind of screwed them over.
Yeah.
Because they were worried about these men getting out and potentially doing this to other kids. They didn't know.
That is one thing about the system that is, like, super fucked, that, like, victims have to, like, show up to kind of be like, no, they shouldn't get out. Like, I obviously don't have a solution for that, but I think it's just like something that's
With drug crimes get sentenced, and I'm not saying drug crimes are good, but I'm saying like people who are distributing get harsher sentences than people that commit murders.
Yeah.
We
could go down that rabbit hole. Yeah.
We'll do it before. Well, if you remember the preppy killer, he got more jail time for his drug charge than he did murdering her. Remember that? I do. But these kids didn't want them getting out of jail, so they would go to their parole hearings, as they should. So, if you ask me, allowing them to have parole is like a slap on the wrist for traumatizing these poor children didn't ask to be traumatized.
I just don't think that's like really an appropriate, like, why? Why would they get parole?
Why is kidnapping not seen as just as awful as bodily harm?
Yeah.
Kidnapping is mental. Yeah. Bodily harm is physical. With bodily harm, a lot of the time you can, like, you know, like, fix yourself, but, like, you know, it's just...
Yeah, like, you can heal.
They're bad in different ways.
A scrape or a bruise or whatever.
Or being punched in the face. Yeah.
But, like, the mental harm that they have now been inflicted with is not something that you necessarily just get over or heal from. Like, that's something that you have to address and work at to try to cope with it in healthy ways. Like, it's a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you could even say, like, if you're trying to be, like, you know, bodily harm, trauma does live in the body. So, So maybe via a different way than you might have thought.
I feel like nowadays they'd be sentenced differently.
Oh, for sure. I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would really hope so.
So Richard Schoenfeld, who turned himself in, he was paroled in 2012.
Okay.
And James Schoenfeld was paroled in 2015. Fred Woods is still in prison because he won't do what they need him to do, like show remorse, which is good.
Yeah, you should feel bad about that.
Yeah, like I'm more okay with them paroling the people that are actually doing the work and potentially can come out and like contribute to society. Like,
whoopsies, that but was he's a stupid been found decision.
With a phone. He has not obeyed the rules. He's still in prison because he's a piece of shit. And if you can't obey the rules in prison, how are you going to be when there are really no rules?
Yeah.
How are you going to be when you don't really have, you know,
you're like, not being monitored 24 hours a day.
Yes, exactly. So that's what their thought is. And thank God, stay in prison.
Yeah.
So the kids that, you know, nowadays they were able to like do therapy, and a lot of the kids were like, you know, healing works if you let it work. And I think that's awesome. So a lot of the kids are doing better nowadays because a lot of the kids are between 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
So it's been a lot of years, but they're still like alive. They were young when this happened.
Yeah.
So one of the kids is named Larry, and Larry was the one that like regressed back into a young kid and was the one that's like, hi, mom, and fell asleep.
Oh, Larry.
So he dealt with a lot of addiction issues. He like meth, heroin, all that.
Oh, like hard stuff.
And he got clean and he became like a pastor for a church.
Oh, I love that for him.
Yes, I do too. I think that's amazing. And he said he had to forgive the kidnappers and he had to do it for himself. So he actually went and shook their hands and told them that he had forgiven them and they were really grateful. They're like, thank you so much for your forgiveness. People and he said, and that's that. When he came over the addiction issues. Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I thought so. I feel too. Like, I mean, people always say that, right? But I'm like a petty bitch and I'd be like, fuck you.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, I'm not.
But it's also like, I get it. You don't want to hold on to that rage and that.
I'm an ex-boyfriend that I'll shittiness. Never forgive ever, even if there's a fire. Like, but it's fine. I don't like
I mean, I get it, but I'm also like, I'm petty as fuck. And I'd be like, actually, fuck you.
That's why we do this together, because we're both petty. Like that. I'm like, I'm never going to forgive him, and it's fine. No, it, like, I don't think about it every day. You don't take up
space in my mind.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Also, you're dead to me.
Yeah. You don't. I don't think about it, but when something happens, I'm like,
where do you remember it? Dead to me.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it. I just, I'm not going to forgive you. You sucked. It's not my fault you sucked. It's your fault.
Exactly.
So every year after the kidnapping, and I listened to a podcast about this like 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I can't remember, but I remember like every year the kids would get together every few years and they would just like hang out and talk Aww. Because they went through this traumatic thing. Yeah. And they would celebrate Ed Ray because he was like, he did what he could.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, for a lot of years, Ed Ray is no longer with us. But for a lot of years, the kids would, like, just be like, oh, you know, because they went through something traumatic together. Like,
yeah.
And it's kind of
And no one understands except for that group of people.
Exactly. It's so specific. Exactly. And so the kids, like, even, like, when they did the recording, like, one of the girls' names was Jennifer. And they're all like, bye, Jennifer. We love you. And I'm like, oh. So it's not great, but it did bring, like,
but a at least group they, like, had each other mm-hmm. in that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. it's not like they were fully isolated. Still not good.
I just hate what they had to go through to like heal. But it sounds like the kids that they interviewed, they had three of them. It sounds like they've done a lot of healing. Like they all sound so like well adjusted. So good. Yeah, which is great. But they're like, you have to let yourself heal. You can't just ignore this. So that's the Chowchilla bus kidnapping.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a I know. I had like heard of that. I mm-hmm. didn't know. All the nitty-gritty.
It was one of the biggest kidnappings in U.S. history. Yeah. And it goes, for the most part, it goes okay. Because the kids aren't, like, killed or anything. Which, that's why I'm sharing this story. Because I think it's a cool survival story. Yeah. But, yeah, that was that. And we'll post pictures. I think we should post a picture of your self-care, what you did. Like, what the machine looks like that you used.
Yeah, because it's kind of a weird explanation. But if you see it and then you listen to the explanation.
Well, like, I got to watch you like act it, like pantomime it. So for me, I'm like, that makes sense. But we'll post all the pictures, and that's going to be on Instagram, and that's going to be Mysterious Mavens Pod on Instagram. Please go follow us.
Yeah, I followed a lot of people.
Yeah, if you were followed, follow back.
I tried to interact with a lot of people too, because I really truly want to like build
a community.
You know, we want to like talk to you guys.
Yeah. Even we're if it's really on an nice. Insta
comment.
Unless you're mean to us in public and tell me I'm wrong about something, then I'm not nice. Actually, I'm still nice. I'm still actually. I'm like, I act like I'm gonna be like, nah, fuck you. Like I'm not. I'm gonna be like, okay, you know what? You're probably right.
Yeah, and if you have any suggestions of stories that you would like us to cover, or you are interested in, and you want us to do some research, then we are happy to do that. You can email us at mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
And guys, guess what? It's been a while, but we'll still send you a friendship bracelet if you, you know, you kind of have to ask for it. But if you email us or something, just let us know. So, yeah.
We're good at making friendship bracelets.
We're really good at it.
We're so good at it. If you want to request colors, like literally, just email us, please.
Your mom was like, I didn't get a friendship bracelet.
Oh, shit. We need to make her one.
Oh, don't even worry about it. She was like at our house.
Oh, you
did. And I just went downstairs. Yeah, I can make those bracelets in like 2 minutes. Like, no joke. Because I did beading for so long that for me, it's like people are like, holy shit. And I'm like, I did this as a kid like every day for hours. So, And I made your mom a bracelet. She was like, oh, thank you. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, they're like the beaded ones. They're not like the, you know, like thread ones.
Yeah, you know? They're just...
They're cute.
And we try to put MM on them for Mysterious Mavens.
Maybe a heart.
Yeah.
If you like stars, I don't know. Let us know. Anyways, email us with whatever design
you want. And it's time's limited. So right now, at this very second...
Time's limited. It's not. Because we will probably do this forever.
I mean...
Send friendship bracelets.
We'll see. All right.
Okay, until next time.
Self-care yourself.
Okay, bye.
Bye.